Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own, to keep me near Thy side. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 203.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. But first we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may come together in this afternoon hour of thy holy day, and thou knowest all that lives in our hearts, that there is no holiness in us, and thou sayest to keep it holy, and thou knowest that our hearts, they do go out of ourselves after all that is in this world, after all that is perishing. And we cannot stand in thy sight, who art holy in all thy ways. But wilt thou look upon us in and through thine only begotten Son? Then we can be received again, even as we can read it in thy holy word, from the first unto the last. But, Lord, thou art so hidden even unto thy own people. Oh, could it please thee to reveal thyself, especially in the days in which we do live with our children, that thy spirit may not speak of himself, but that he may speak of thee, that he may reveal thee in the heart of those that can see no way to return again into the favor and the communion with thee. So it will go open unto them, so they will see the riches of free and sovereign grace, so they will receive the greatest blessings, that can be received in the midst of this earth as we travel to a great eternity, so we may have not only what is vain and passing away, but so we may receive that which contains substance and that which will endure to an everlasting eternity, durable riches as we have read, as we can read of them in thy word. O Lord, that thou would make such a desire to be born in the heart of each and every one of us, that in a special way we remember these young people who hope to make a confession in this afternoon hour. Lord, it is that which we have spoken of so many times together, that which they are in themselves not able to keep. For what man is able to continue steadfastly in the doctrine in which he has been taught? O Lord, then it is too high for them, and yet it is incumbent upon us to take that vow upon our lips, that the desire may live within their young hearts. And oh, that thou may thyself be near unto them, that thou may remember them this day in making this promise, but that thou may look upon them day after day, that they may receive also a cry to thee, that they may be given to walk steadfastly before thee, and that their iniquity and sin, that it may be pardoned in thy holy sight. Oh, that when they do promise to continue upon the field of thy church, oh, that it may be sanctified and blessed in the heart of each and every one of them. Oh, do look upon their parents also, even in this hour. For thou knowest that the love that lives in our hearts for our children, and then it cannot but be that there is in this day gladness when they may see their children desiring to walk in such a way before thee. Oh, humble their hearts under thy great goodness, and cause them to end in thee with all the blessings, and that this also may never testify against these young people. Oh, that one day, when they have to appear before thee, then that which they have promised shall also be brought once again, and then it will be required of them. But when they may be found counted in thine only begotten Son, and then all the shortcomings, and then all the iniquity and sin that shall not be mentioned anymore. O Lord, we beseech thee for them, and wilt thou look upon us, each and every one, in this hour. Remember all our young people. Oh, do give in this day also, in the hearts of others, a longing and a desire that they may also come to that point, that they may make such a confession, and that thou would remember those that have departed from thy truth. O Lord, thou, thy arm that is not short and that it cannot save, and neither is thine ear heavy that it cannot hear. O, we ask of thee that thou wouldst remember them in the places where they are, for thou art able to bring them again with weeping and with supplications, and that thou art able to make glad our hearts. Oh, that thou may remember all the afflicted, the child that was brought home from the hospital in this day, we may acknowledge thee. But there are such continuing concerns. Wilt thou remember him? Remember also his parents in the way that they do go. O Lord, thou knowest all the afflictions that are suffered in the midst of this world. And they are so necessary, not from thy side, but it is because of us. And because we can leave thee so easy in thy place. And when we are able in our own selves to care for everything in this world, then we do not need thee. Then our secret place that is empty, O Lord, wilt thou sanctify all the afflictions, and wilt thou teach each and every one of us to walk in thy fear, and teach us in all things to do thy will. Remember all the afflicted, remember all the widows and the orphans, and all that need thee in special ways, those that have difficulties of the mind, those that have addictions, and that do struggle from day to day. Lord, supply for each and every one. Remember all those that bring thy word. Remember the missionaries and all those that labor far from their loved ones. Look upon us in this afternoon hour. Lord, we are together around thy holy word and thine everlasting testimony. And we are called to go before our flock. Lord, thou knowest all our circumstances. All we ask of thee for help from the sanctuary. All we do need it. We need it for our body. We do need it also for our mind. We need it, Lord, for our soul. For who is sufficient for these things and who is able to take of the mysteries revealed in thy word and to proclaim them unto the sons of men. Lord, we are not sufficient for these things, but we ask of thee in this holy hour and that we may feel something of thy nearness and that we may feel something of thy presence and of thy help. And when thou wouldst expound thy word in the midst of us, and when there may be fruit upon the preaching of thy word in the midst of the congregation, young and old together, forgive thou and keep us from all iniquity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee, I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. We announced that the consistory meeting this coming Thursday evening has been canceled. We hope to meet as a consistory on Wednesday evening, May the 1st. The extra collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. 163, all stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you at the 91st Psalm, and thereof the first verse, Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So far, the words of our text. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. First, the natural likeness. And second, the spiritual meaning. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. First, the natural likeness. Second, the spiritual meaning. The author, congregation, of this psalm is not known to us. Some think that it was King David. Others say that it was Moses. And indeed, it is a psalm, when we consider circumstances, that is very fitting to the children of Israel as they are traveling through the wilderness. But the secondary author, and that is not the most important, who is, boys and girls, the first author of the Psalms, the primary author, and that is the Lord Himself. Thus, it is the Word of God. And because it is the Word of God, and therefore it is so precious unto His people. And our text that is speaking, we read about a secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Thus, what is a secret place? Secret place, that is a place of communion. We do have them. It is a secret place in the hearts of one another. A husband, a wife, and they have a secret place in the heart of one another. A place where they are able to commune with one another. And that they have to hide nothing. And that they may tell all the secrets of their hearts. There is a secret place, is there not, boys and girls? Does that not also remain, young people, if it is well? A secret place. Also in the heart of your father and of your mother. Is there also then a special communion that may be between you and your parents, that you may go to them with all of your needs and your cares and your fears and your anxieties? A secret place. But what do we read here? We read, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That is, in the secret place of God. This congregation, we cannot fathom that there should be such a secret place in the heart of God, with His creatures that He has made. Probably the imagery that is here in this psalm that is referring to the tabernacle. You know how that was, children. The tabernacle that Moses was commanded to build in the wilderness. Then it had on the outside an outer court. And then there was also a special place that was called the Holy of Holies. And then within that place or beyond it was called the most holy place. Thus we have the outer court, the holy place, and then the most holy or the Holy of Holies. And that is the place that was a representation of the presence of God Himself. We would say it is the dwelling place of God. May the Israelites come there? No, they may not. And why not? Well, congregation, the Lord is holy, and we are unholy. And therefore, before that most holy of holies, was standing a very thick veil, and handbreadth thick. A veil because of sin. And that there was a separation between a holy God and a sinful people. And yet, all one time in each year, and then there was an entrance. It was the entrance of a man. It was the entrance of the high priest. And that high priest, he would go through that veil, and he would enter into that most holy place. He would enter into the dwelling place of God. But that man, he did not go there for his own account. No, that man, he had an office. Thus, he goes in as a representative. Thus, we ask, oh, did the children of Israel come into that most holy place? Oh, there was a people. They are represented as a people, yes, by that high priest, but in a special way. Then it is the representative of that true people of the Lord. And then he is carrying them with him into that most holy place, actually, into the secret place of the Most High. Thus, indeed, in a very special way, then the children of Israel, they were coming into that most holy place. And what was there? Well, inside of there, there was a mercy seat. And above that mercy seat, then we can read that Moses was commanded to make two cherubim. And those cherubim, they have their wings stretched out over that mercy seat. Thus, what are we reading here in Psalm 91? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Thus we have a representation of the children of Israel coming under the wings of God, under the protection of the Lord, when they are dwelling in that most holy place. Israel has another representation of being under that shadow as they are going through the wilderness and a burning sun is beating down upon them, boys and girls. How were they able to bear it? You say, that is not hard. Because the Lord, He has sent His cloud. It was a cloud all the day long. And the children of Israel, They were dwelling under that cloud of the Lord. Thus, they were protected by the Lord from the heat of that sun. And they have dwelt under that cloud for 40 years. The Lord has never taken it away. And they have dwelt under that cloud every day again. How is it for that people that are privileged to, what we read here, dwell under His shadow? Well, congregation, only read the rest of this psalm, because the very first verse of this psalm, that is, as it were, a summary of the whole psalm, of the children of Israel dwelling in that secret place and under the abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. What do we read? Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Well, pestilence there was. Oh, we know the Lord, He has used it as a chastisement for the children of Israel. But it has never been for their destruction. And it has every time again been under the controlling hand of the Lord. And thus the Lord, He was watching over His own children. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Oh, they had not to fear those arrows of the enemy. No, they had not to fear the wild beasts. They had to fear nothing. Why? Because they were dwelling under that shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Did they not see it? In all their fear, in all their terror, and when the Lord did send that cloud, and when that great enemy was behind them, oh, did they not see it? Did they not feel it? Did they not experience it? How that the Lord has come between them and the Egyptians, so that they were not able to come at them all the night. So the Lord has protected them as He has made a way for them through the sea. And so that the Lord has also looked through that cloud, and He has taken off the chariot wheels of those enemies. Oh, and then they have experienced day by day what it meant to be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. The Israelites were no soldiers, no. No, in themselves, they were just but former slaves. They were a weak people. But what do we read? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Oh, what had they to fear? What had they to fear? Oh, when that shadow of the Almighty, when that cloud that was over them, and when they were walking under the eye of the Lord from moment unto moment. What do you think, young people? Is there any place in this whole world that is so safe as being under the shadow of the Almighty? Was there ever such a privileged people in this whole world as God's people, who are given that privilege to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Oh, we have heard of that before, have we not? Who has spoken those words? Yes, you say that was the devil. The devil spoke those words when? That was in the temptation of the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. And thus the devil, he has applied these words of Psalm 91 unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And that congregation was correct, because this psalm, that is a messianic psalm, and that applies in a very special way to the Son of God himself. No, the devil did not use it rightly, for the devil would tempt him with it. The devil tried to make him to doubt, and that he was even the Son of God himself. The devil would make him to cast him down from the pinnacle of the temple. He would make him to do that which was evil in the sight of God, make him to sin. That is the purpose, young people, of the devil. But in doing so, then he has rightly attributed these words unto the Lord Jesus. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, who? Who does dwell in a very special way in the secret place of God more than his Son? Who of us can comprehend what that communion is between the three persons of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that are three in one and one in three? No, that is a communion that we are not able to enter into, a communion of the Trinity, the communion between the Father and the Son. But congregation, that is the way it was. But now there is more. Now it is not only between the Father and the Son, but it is also between the Father and the Son in his human nature. That was not before. That was not before. Thus, a communion between the divine nature and the human nature. Say there was such a communion before. Yes. When was it, children? It was in paradise. When God spoke to Adam in the cool of the day. And yet now it is so different. Now it is a communion that is so much higher. Why? Because that communion is between the Father and the Son. It is within the Trinity itself. Thus, it is a communion that far surpasses the communion between God and Adam in paradise. It is the closeness of that union is that which we cannot even express. Thus, that human nature brought by God into a very close union with Himself. How? Through the fall. Shall we say, blessed fall? Never. Never, congregation. Because it was the sin of mankind. Because it was the curse upon mankind. Because it has brought all this misery in this world and death itself. But what shall we say? Oh, that God, He was willing and ready to bring good through that evil of man. Oh, what shall we say? Oh, we can only say, how deep are thy thoughts? God bringing His children, that high priest, going into that most holy place as a representative of the church of God, and therefore carrying that church into the secret place of the Most High. That brings us to our second thought. What is then the spiritual meaning of this? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Congregation, we know how that communion was cut off in paradise. Oh, what has sin wrought? Do you ever think about it, children? What has sin done? Oh, consider it. And when your heart longs to commit iniquity, oh, think only of the grief that sin has brought into this world. Think only of the grief that it has brought into heaven itself. And then that communion with God that was enjoyed in paradise, that was cut off. And out of the garden, our first parents were sent. And that angel is placed there to guard the way of that tree of life. What does Paul say? Having no hope and without God in the world. That is the way it is. Or has that ever become a burden unto you? Having no hope and without God in the world. Because the remnants of the image of God, they are still left in us. And that is why we see man here and there and everywhere in this world seeking something that he may worship, that he may bow down unto. But how ignorant man has become, how darkened his understanding. And yet, our text that is speaking of a people who are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, are there people here, young people, children, older people, that say, oh, if I also could find such a place, or if I could come to dwell also in that secret place of the Most High, oh, if the Lord will give to us a new birth This is the desire, congregation. This is the longing that is living in the newborn soul, that he may come to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It almost seems presumptuous to us to even speak in such a way that a mortal man, that a sinful man would come and enjoy such a secret place with God. But what did we say, children? It is not man who is the author, but it is God. It is the Word of God. Thus, it is God Himself that says there is a people, there is mankind, there is a human nature that is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Or it is God Himself that is inviting man to such a place. It is God Himself who is calling unto men, and that they may come to enjoy also such a place. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men, and my delights there with the sons of men. Oh, what does it mean then to dwell in that secret place? Oh, that is to be admitted into communion with Him. That is to be permitted to speak to Him. That is to be permitted to listen to Him. We read of Moses that he spoke with God as a man face to face. Thus, it is to be permitted to lay all our needs and our cares before Him, that our heart would be unfettered, as it were, that the burden of our heart and may be given to cast all its cares upon Him, all our hopes, all our fears, all our anxieties, all of our troubles, all our sorrows, all of our joys. Oh, that there may be a communing, and that heaven may go open, when by nature the heaven is as brass, and when we can pray with our mouth, but we are not able to enter into that secret place, but then to have the Lord open those heavens, and that the cry of the heart may enter into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And not only so, but then also to hear, also to listen, also to receive the revelations that are coming unto men from Him. You say we have it in His Word. Yes. Oh, but is that Word then ever opened unto you, that you may receive also in your heart, in your understanding not only, but also in your feelings, also in your emotions, also in the desires of your heart? Oh, that the revelation that the Lord is giving in His Word may be opened, that it may be revealed also unto your own heart. They are things, Peter says, that the angels, they desire to look into, but they are not able. The angels, they are the angels who never fell. Never fell. Think about it. Thus, as man before the fall, and they are not permitted to enter into those mysteries, that man, fallen man, is permitted to enter into. And what is, in a special way, that great mystery, that is the mystery of free and sovereign grace. Oh, that is a mystery that the angels do not enter into. It is a mystery that is beyond them. It is not necessary for them. Thus, they will remain in heaven as the friends of God, but they will never enter into that joy of their Lord as that church will enter into because of that one-sided, free and sovereign grace of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place, what is it to dwell? All that is not just to run there, that is not just to visit there, but to dwell, that actually means to sit there. That means to remain there. That is, that we do not visit in that place like we would visit an inn. No, but that we may be in that place as we dwell in our home. That it is our daily dwelling place. Oh, what a rare benefit for God's children if they may be permitted to even enter once there, to receive a little from that communion in that secret place, but now to dwell there. Oh, to dwell there day after day and to receive from the Lord the benefits that are flowing forth from dwelling in that place. Indeed, they are rare blessings received here in this world. But congregation, they are those that don't just receive blessings as those that are in the outward court, but they are those that receive the blessings of those that are going in with that high priest, represented by him into that holy of holies, and there they may gaze upon the glory of God. There they may gaze upon that mercy seat. And what is, do you think, the most conspicuous thing when that high priest entered in to that holy of holies? Well, then the most conspicuous thing would have been naturally those two cherubim, because their wings, they are extended and they are touching one another in the center of that place, and their outer wings are touching the wall. Thus, they are spanning the entire Holy of Holies. It is 30 feet wide. What is, do you think, the most conspicuous thing when the Lord will give a man, a mortal, sinful man in this world, to enter into that secret place of the Most High? Oh, what will he experience? What will he see? What will he feel? Oh, he will feel, congregation, the protection of the wings of the Almighty. It cannot be otherwise. Oh, to be included in that high priest, then that people, they receive a safety under the shadow of his wings. He shall cover thee with his feathers. and under his wings shalt thou trust. Oh, they will feel and experience the safety under every one of the blessed attributes of God. Why, congregation? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Then the whole world can be against us. And the devil and all hell can come against us. But if God be for us, and we are under the shadow of his wings, oh, then there is no place of safety like this. Is there any assault in earth, heaven, or hell together that is able to come against the justice of God? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Or will that not people not feel something of the shadow of his wings? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, what did David say to that woman of Tekoa? Oh, he said, whosoever saith aught to thee, bring him to me, and he shall not touch thee any more. That was the king. That was the assurance that that woman has received from the king. Oh, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, who can come against the holiness of God? Paul said, O wretched man that I am, then there can come accusations against him, yes. But what did the Lord Jesus say? Which of you convinceth me of sin? Oh, when we may be so included, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, as shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Who can attack his goodness? Oh, what do we read in the Word of God? Then we read there was a prodigal. He was a sinful man. He had wandered far from the teaching of his father. And the Lord brought him back again. And his brother had much to say and would not come in. But congregation, he could not argue with the goodness of his father. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the laborers who came in last, oh, an old man who was converted when he is 100 years old, and when one would complain and say that I have labored many, many years. No. And then he shall receive likewise his penny. May I not do what I will with mine own? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, who can come against his power? And what is the mightiest thing in the world? That is death. What does Solomon say? Solomon says that there is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and there is no discharge in that war. We have no fighting when the Lord is coming to take our life. We may ask many of us who have seen this one and that one, our families, husbands, wives, parents, children, there is no discharge, congregation, in that war. But what have we commemorated together? He was lying in the grave. He has not only raised others, but he has also raised himself. He has raised himself power over the greatest enemy that you and I have in this world. What does Paul say? What mean ye to break my heart when you do weep? I am ready to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, what can we say further? Who can come against his truth? Who can come against his faithfulness? Is he a man that he should lie? Is he the Son of Man that he should repent? Who can come against his wisdom? Who can come against his offices, his mediation? Who can come against his presence? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Congregation who has ever received harm under that shadow, there is a special immunity there. A special immunity. David said, Lord, keep me. Keep me as the apple of thine eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. He who dwelleth, it matters not who he is, whether he is rich or poor, whether he is old or children, whether you are young, then it is possible. Do you remember in the Bible that the Lord spoke unto Samuel? Then he was just a child. And the Lord gave him to enter into his secrets. And he revealed unto him as a child what he would not reveal unto his own prophet. No, it matters not. He who dwelleth, whether he is old or young, and whether he is rich or poor, whether he is bond or free, whether he is great or small, whether he is lowly, whether he is honorable, he that dwelleth in the secret place, ultimately it will be in that place of glory, a secret place where there will be an open communion. Unfathomable, unfathomable, what that shall be, when it shall not be hidden anymore, and when sin shall make no more a separation, but when there will be a free communion between God and his children, and when they will sit, when they will remain, when they will endure under his shadow. But congregation, it begins on the earth. On the earth, the smallest one will experience something in the life of grace of what it is to enter into that secret place of the Most High and to dwell under the shadow of his wings. But now to dwell in that secret place, people of the Lord, did you ever try to walk in a man's shadow? Then you must remain very, very close to that man. Otherwise, you are soon out of his shadow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 417, 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace. Thou wilt provide. 1 and 2 of 417. I now ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourselves conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works. Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Noel Jared Busicum? Jenna Marie Busicum? Maria Johanna van Hagenbos? Tunis Herman van Hagenbos? Hendrik Gerrit van Hagenbos? Friends, you make a vow. Often we have spoken of this vow, and now the Lord has brought you to this moment. We read also in God's word of a woman who made a vow, and that vow was, "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." That was Ruth. And she spoke about the lodging of Naomi. Had Naomi lodged in that secret place of the Most High, oh, she had gone away and gone to live in Moab. There she was far away, and the Lord had to deal very bitterly with her that she would return. But she was returning again. Oh, that grace of God that the Lord planted in her heart that was not lost, cannot be lost. And the Lord made something of that grace to shine, so that Ruth saw something, even in the afflictions wherein Naomi was living, and that drew Ruth's heart, "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." And then I see Boaz, then he is one day going out into his field. And when he is in that field, then he sees there a woman, and that woman is working, and she is bending there under that hot sun, gleaning after the reapers, that she may have a little something, a little bit, a little portion. And then Boaz, the owner of that field, he is asking, "Who is that woman that is working there in my field?" And the reapers, they are answering, "That is Ruth, the Moabitess. And she has continued from the morning even until now. Thus she was laboring upon that field." And you know, that has touched the heart of Boaz. And when she was there, laboring in his field, then what did he do? Then he went over to her and he spoke to her. That was such a wonder to that woman. "Why?" she says. "Because I am not like unto one of thy handmaidens." And that Boaz should come and speak to her while she is working in that field, that was for her such a wonder. And we hope that it may become also such a wonder to you, that the Lord would speak to you upon the field of his church. Do you know the first thing he said to her? He said, "Hearest thou not my daughter?
Go not to glean in another field, but abide here, fast by my maidens, all he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know what the second thing he said to her was? He said, have not I charged my young men that they do not touch thee? Oh, that was the shadow of that Boaz when she would be laboring on his field that she may have a little bit to eat. Oh, then he was caring for her that no one would harm her. Do you know what the third thing he said to her was? He says, when you are hungry, you may come to the vessels and you may drink. And we read that there she may sit with the reapers, and Boaz himself, oh, he reaches to her parched corn. He gave her out of his own hand something to eat. And that was such a wonder. And he said unto those reapers that you must now leave something behind, handfuls, handfuls, for that Ruth, when she is laboring upon that field. Oh, friends, where does it end? You know where it ends. It ends when Boaz, he is bringing that woman into his most secret place. There he takes her hand in marriage and he brings her into that blessed communion with himself. But where did it begin? Oh, it began. It began on those fields of Boaz. Never, never would that woman forget what has happened upon the fields of Boaz. Today, that woman, she is rejoicing because of what has happened on the fields of Boaz. And we hope with all our heart that one day that you will also be able to tell what has happened upon the fields of the church. And that your children, if the Lord may give children, if the Lord may bless you, that you may say it unto others, that you have come to enter, and not only to enter, but to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that you may abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So be it. We ask the congregation to arise and to sing Psalter 248, stanzas 1 and 4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide and in his shadow safely hide. 1 and 4 of 248 standing.
Let us now close with a word of thanksgiving. O Lord of heaven and of earth, then we may read in thy holy word of such a place. Wilt thou give a holy jealousy in the heart of each and every one of us, young and old together. O Lord, does it not begin there with thy work? Does it not begin there when thou wilt make a willing people in the day of thy power? Wilt thou forgive our many sins? Remember these young people. Bring us each one safely to our places. Be with us in the week to come. Spare from a sudden and from an unprepared death. Give meditation upon thy word of truth. Bring those also safely that travel. Wilt thou care for each and every one? For Jesus' sake, amen. 159, 2, 3, and 4. In thee my soul hath shelter found, and thou hast been from foes around the tower to which I flee. Within thy house will I abide, my refuge sure. Whate'er betide, thy sheltering wings shall be. 2, 3, and 4 of 159. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.